Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is Aaron Carreno with 99.7 The Point, and I'm excited because it's early. It's before summer, technically, but Broadway season is back at Starlight. And Jose Lana, you're here with the King and I.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm happy to be here. It's great. We had a great show last night.
I was going to say, I was able to be at the opening night, and it was incredible.
Thank you. We had a great time. And for the cast, too, it's our first outdoor venue on the tour. So a lot of the cast who had never worked in outdoor venues before were kind of nervous about it. It was fantastic. I've worked in some outdoor venues, so it was nice.
Hold that thought for a minute, because I do want to circle back to that, because Starlight is such a unique venue.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about The King and I.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who aren't maybe familiar with Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals,
right.
This one is incredibly unique because it's kind of a reboot of what was at Lincoln Center, correct?
Yes, we are the Lincoln Center production. The show opened on Broadway about 2.5 years ago, and I actually took over for Ken Watanabe, who was the original King in that production. And we are the Lincoln Center production. We've been going on the road now for a year and a half. We're very proud to bring this production. People don't know The King and I. We are the Rodgers and Hammerstein show that made famous by Yul Brynner. It's a story about Anna who comes to Siam to help teach his kids, and it's a story about love and friendship through different races. So.
And I just want to make sure, because we're looking at each other right now, people can't necessarily see this. I'm lower than you. Okay?
You must bow.
As long
bow.
As you stay higher
you
up
must
than me.
Bow. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, you know, your character is, you play the character so well, because you really have that, I'd say that stern authoritarian figure, but you also have a way of, I think it's your humor, but you have a way of like twisting it so that you're somewhat oblivious, but also very... your heart is full. So
oh, thank you. And what's all, you know, I got to say, it's all in the script. I think Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote a beautiful story. The King, actually, you know, he is a real figure in Thai history. I actually was just there on vacation a couple months ago. I went and spent a week in Bangkok. And King Mongkut is an actual figure in Thai history. And he was known as the King of Science. He brought Western thought into Siam when it was still called Siam. To help protect his country from colonization, and it worked because he brought in foreign teachers. You know, of course, our story of Anna and Leonoans is a romanticized version of that story, but in truth and history, he brought in Western thought to Siam, and because of his innovation and his progressive thinking, Siam, nowadays Thailand, was the only Asian country to not be colonized by a Western. By a Western force, so it speaks a lot about the progressive thoughts of progressive mantra of bringing in foreign thought and embracing it as opposed to building barriers.
And when you go see the show this weekend, because the run of engagement goes through Sunday at Starlight, you know the set design, the wall, you feel encapsulated in Siam, the way the set was done,
right?
The costuming and all of it represents 1860s Bangkok really, really well, I thought.
Yes. I mean, that's our Jurgen, our incredible set designer. The wall is there as a purpose. It showed that this insular community that was the Siamese palace was so enclosed and so protected, and they were literally bringing in this foreign woman to come teach English to his children. That wall is meant to show just how fortressed it was.
And you do a great job, obviously, portraying the character. But what is it like working with? Is it Elena?
Elena.
It like working with Elena, who plays Anna? You know, because she's
incredible. You know, we've been friends for years. We actually worked together opposite each other in a show about 5 years ago, and when we knew we were going to be working together, it was like a beautiful reunion. She's a lovely lady and incredible in the show. And, you know, when you're touring, it's always important to have a strong touring family because we are living out of suitcases with each other going from city to city, and we are traveling. We're like the Von Trapps going around the country singing for our supper everywhere we go. So she's incredible. And, you know, I get the easy job. I get to wear more comfortable clothing and barefoot. She has to put on these 45-pound dresses and dance backwards on stage.
Right.
So, I always say I've got the better end of the bargain for that, and I always have to give my female lead, my leading ladies props for that.
We're talking with Jose, who plays the King and I, who plays the King in Rodgers and Hammerstein's The King and I. Tell us a little bit about some of the difficulties in auditioning or maybe even rehearsing, because, you know, your history has a lot of different roles and various capacities, even on television, for that matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, what were some of the things that you struggled with as a role specifically?
Something that I'm actually really proud of in terms of touring the King and I around the country, and I have, as I've just mentioned with Yul Brynner, you know, in 2018 now, I think it's very important that we can say that you would be hard pressed to mount a large commercial production of the King and I without actually casting Asian Americans in your show. And I'm very proud that we are a production that boasts a cast that is predominantly all Asian Americans traveling the country right now. And no offense to Yul Brynner, you know, but I feel an ultimate pride in actually being Asian and portraying this character. It's a lot to live up to, obviously, but it means the most when you go out into when we go from city to city and you look out into the audience and you actually see young Asian kids. To see representation of themselves on stage is powerful. And I know how much that meant to me when I was a young kid growing up in D.C., when I would see an Asian-American actor portraying something, it meant the world to me. And, you know, and so this is a strong story. This is with strong Asian and female characters. That to us is the most important thing, that we get to represent the Asian American community in this country.
I think it's great that you are able to. I mean, anyone who goes to see The King and I this weekend at Starlight will be definitely able to see what you're talking about. And in addition to that, mm-hmm. you know, the Tonys were this past weekend.
Right.
And as I was watching, you know, with a glass of Pinot Noir, of course, in my hand. But as I'm watching the performances, I came across a really interesting statistic that said that last year was the highest grossing year in theater in America,
mm-hmm.
across all spectrums. Tell us about, in your take, the importance mm-hmm. of theater in the community and keeping and preserving that.
Oh my gosh, so much. I mean, it's what freed me as a young kid, you know, growing up as a young immigrant in Northern Virginia, to see theater's responsibility in a community is not only to reflect its storytelling, but also just to challenge it, you know, and it's our storytellers that give us the opportunity to dream of what our communities can be in the best sense of what they can be, you know, and I think now some of the best stories that are being told are on stage, and there's something really different between seeing a show in a theater, knowing that there's a live person on stage, as opposed to seeing a movie or a TV show. There's a disconnect there when it's TV or film, but with stage, it's a shared community experience, and which is why also too touring now, more so than anything else, we go to community after community where we, like, I mean, we're in Kansas City right now, and I get to meet people who grew up here, and we're telling the same story, but that story will shift and change depending on someone's life experience. And someone's life experience growing up in Kansas City is going to be completely different from someone's life experience growing up in Wichita. Well, that's not a very different example.
We'd like to believe so, at least.
Right?
But yeah.
But like, I mean, I think that's what the power of theater is, in the sense that we as we travel from community to community, the same story will be told in a different way in someone else's ears from different states and different cities. And I think that is powerful. And I think that also shows the strength of The King and I. The story of The King and I will reach to different generations in a different way. You know, when it was written in the early 50s, the U.S. was just coming off of World War II. And there was a whole sense of Orientalism that the world was embracing. Like, people had seen Japan for the first time and seen Asia for the first time. And here's a show about another one of those countries, you know, and happily, you know, 60 plus years later, there's the sense of Orientalism is different. You know, people have now know that there are different Asian countries. You know,
and we're so connected.
You know, I mean, with the internet and just mm-hmm. I mean, just in the world. But that in itself, the strength of the story still comes through. And there's been dozens of wars between now and then, and there's the wars happening as we speak. And so, to tell a story about a world leader trying to protect his country from war is a powerful thing, and that story will never get old.
And you and Anna, or Elena, who mm-hmm. plays Anna in the show, you have really great stage chemistry, and you can
Thank
feel
you.
That from being
Our
in the
friendship.
Audience.
Yeah,
your friendship shows.
It's great. It's
and
great. It's
if
a blessing.
Seeing The King and I this weekend, too, I mean, the story of The King and I also has an element of the female empowerment.
Very much so. I mean, I think that's what our director, Bart Scheer, there's no reason to do a revival unless you think you can breathe some fresh air into it. And I think Bart and I have a common obsession with politics. So he went back to the original script and wanted to really bring out the political lines that were actually over time edited out about the tension with Cambodia, the tension with colonialism. But his other main focus was to really empower the three female leads in the show, because without Anna's feminism and Lady Tiang's powerful way of ruling the palace, and then Tuptim, who was like the rebel, the king has nothing to stand up against, you know. And I think people forget how progressive Rodgers and Hammerstein were. Almost all of their shows are centered around an outspoken woman questioning the patriarchal society,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think if you look at Sound of Music, Carousel, I mean, South Pacific, King and I, they're all centered around outspoken women who the entire show, people are beating them down to say, stop saying your opinion so loudly. And then they win at the end. And the fact that people, that these men were writing these stories in the 50s says everything about just how feminist all their stories are.
And the story is told in that way, and you can, like we talked about, you can feel the energy, you can feel the stage chemistry that you have with your close friends as mm-hmm. you tour together. And at moments during the performance, you know, in my head, and I could even hear somebody behind me, I was like, they're starting to get mad at you. Stop talking to her like that, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly.
The world we live in.
Right.
You're also much more calm than you are on stage. So do you feel like
it.
A breath of fresh air when
yeah.
you're done? Is it?
I tell you, it's hard. You know, I get a lot of physical therapy and massage, because I basically tell people my job is to yell at people for 3 hours every night, and it's not who I am naturally, you know. I mean, I think that's it's his journey, you know. I think if someone asks, you know, what's the king's journey, he goes from being a misogynist to someone who actually maybe questions that at the end and embraces that you don't necessarily have to yell at people and disrespect women to get what you want. And I think that is a massive journey for him that he goes through for the show.
The King and I at Starlight through this weekend, through Sunday. Tickets available through the Starlight box office, right? StarlightTheater.com? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. We made sure we got that in there as well. You're here in Kansas City. We're excited to have you here. It's going
to
be a beautiful
Very
weekend.
Happy to be here.
You know, one of the things I find interesting in talking to artists or talking to performers is I love to follow, more specifically, performers on Instagram and social media, because uh-huh. you do mention that you travel together as a family, as a mm-hmm. unit. And what I always find is, especially on Instagram, and I do follow you, by the way, I'm not trying to creep, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you had some really good barbecue. It looks like you were at Char Bar.
Char Bar yesterday.
Tell us about your Kansas City barbecue experience.
I've never heard of burnt ends before. I'm like, that doesn't necessarily sound appetizing, but it was the best thing on my plate. I was like, what is this? I want a whole plate of this next time. I was just saying, one of our old stage managers, Katie, she is from KC, but she's back in New York now doing another show. But the week before we got here, she sent out a big message to the whole cast saying, you guys are gonna love KC, it's my hometown, and they'll take care of you. And here's all the barbecue spots you need to go to. And I'm like, I guess that's the KC thing to do. So I actually have a list of like the four places. I can't remember what they are now, but like I have a place that they're my lunchtime destinations for this week. I'm going to be hitting a lot of barbecue.
You're going to do it right. I'll give you two personal recommendations.
Okay.
Arthur Bryant's
okay.
is a must. And I really like Slaps Barbecue.
Oh my goodness.
In Kansas City, Kansas.
I've literally heard like 12 different places
yeah,
as recommendations
can't keep track
to people.
Of it all.
But I mean, I guess I can't go wrong, right? You know? And I didn't thank God that half my costumes have elastic waistbands on them, because
I was watching. I'm like, that barbecue. Ugh. You got to really just drink a lot of water.
A lot of water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jose, who plays the king in The King and I, which is running through this weekend at Starlight Theater. I wanted to circle back to what we talked about at the beginning of our conversation, and that was performing indoors versus performing outdoors. And Starlight is a unique venue in that it is one of the very few outdoors theaters.
But it's also incredible. And it's just the state of the art, the fact that we are outdoors, but we kind of feel like we're indoors because the theater is designed to have, to give us our overhead space so we can do the fly operating. And also just the audience was so loving last night, and to look onto the house. And that's the big difference. I think a lot of people who don't do any outdoor theater, the first hour of the show is in full. The sun hasn't gone down yet.
Exactly.
So you kind of like, oh my gosh, I can see the audience and they're right there. And it's in full light. And as a theater actor, you're kind of a vampire. You're used to darkness in your theater. And, but it's so great to sort of feel like, even though it's a pretty big space, it makes it kind of intimate, because we feel like we're kind of giving you a show in your backyard, you know, and knowing you're in this massive complex of green around you, it feels, and even in backstage at Starlight, it feels kind of like summer camp in a good way. We're all hanging out there and we're eating our ice cream dots and we're thinking, we're at work right now, or we're like, they just called places and I'm sitting here eating a cup of ice cream dots that I just bought outside the stage door. And
what flavor did you get?
I'm so vanilla. I'm such a literally.
Oh, that's fine.
That's fine. Like, I'm also too. I'm deathly afraid of staining my costume, so I only get the white stuff. So anyway, but like, I can't not buy a tub of popcorn if I smell it being popped, and it's like literally the best popcorn I've ever tasted was the KC Starlight popcorn. It's like uber amounts of butter and salt, and I'm like, I need to go drink a gallon of water now, but this is the best popcorn I've ever had.
Well, the lines were long. We tried to get the line at intermission, and we were like, well, beer, popcorn, I'll take the beer, and we'll get ready for the second act.
I'm looking forward to getting that tub of popcorn again for my I think it's going to be my dinner tonight, is a tub of popcorn at KC Starlight. So,
Jose Lana, the king from The King and I, talking with you. Starlight this weekend. Tickets available at starlighttheater.com, the Starlight Theater box office. Just kind of want to wrap up. Thanks for the conversation.
Thanks
appreciate
for having
it.
Me.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But no, if you haven't seen this performance, if you're not familiar with a lot of Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals, and we've talked a little bit about that today, what is the one thing that people are really going to enjoy about seeing this weekend?
You know, I think I always say The King and I is an incredible show that you can bring your kids and your grandkids to. It's a beautiful show that I think generations can watch together and go home and talk about. And I think if people can have a beautiful night with their kids and their grandkids watching our show, and then go home and talk about what the song Getting to Know You means, about getting to know people from foreign countries that you don't necessarily think you have anything in common with, and then you become friends. I think that is the most important message we can relay.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to speak today. And
thank you.
Make sure we all see The King and I this weekend.
Thanks very much.
Jose Lana, appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.